Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Well, welcome to another broadcast of Lincoln on Lending. Thank you so much for joining in with us and listening to us. I know there's a lot of folks out there that are using this as their mechanism by staying in touch with all the issues going on. Happy Monday to you. Today is November 30th. We always put the date in there now because as people are downloading this, try to put that up on the front side of the program. We got a lot to talk about this week on the program. We've got to give an update on what's going on with RESPA. We're going to talk about some of the things going on, some recent reports in the Washington Post, some things that Joe talked about last week. We're going to get into it this in the last segment of the program, net branch compensation. It's a real important, in-depth discussion. And then those dreaded repurchases. So we got a whole bunch to talk about. Joining me again, as they do every week, both Joe Farr and Alice Alvey. So good to have you both on the program. Joe, let's get right into the rate topic. The rate segment, give us an update of what's going on in the world of interest rates.
All right, Dave. Today it's been kind of quiet, although we're about where we ended Friday. We're up from the morning pricing by about an eighth of a point. So, it's trending in the right direction today, which is good. Chicago PMI came out earlier today, and it was a little better than expected, and it's nice to see that didn't negatively impact mortgage rates. That kind of announcement in the past has told investors that maybe activity's picking up a little bit, and that's caused rates to fall. But not so today. So it was a good thing.
Good thing, yeah. Yes.
And then let's look at what happened a little bit last week, Dave. It was a short week, but boy, it was packed full of information for investors, mortgage long-term interest rate investors to absorb. Very good to see were the Treasury auctions. There were auctions of, I think it was 3, 5, and 7 year securities. And the 5 and 7, which are more applicable to the mortgage market than the shorter ones, saw very strong demand, just extremely strong foreign demand. And, you know, we talked about the declining value of the dollar and the risk that poses to foreign demand. So seeing that strong foreign demand was really good and
very encouraging.
Yeah, the market reacted as you would hope with that kind of demand, that prices got better. Well, I was surprised to see how much new and existing home sales improved. I mean, a lot of it's relative to or related to first-time home buyer tax credit, but you know, mortgage rates are low and affordability is high.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we can be encouraged that we're now with the home tax credit being extended, we're going to see this kind of activity continue on. I think it might drop off just a little bit. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see as we approach the holidays, and the next holiday rather, to see how if we see the seasonal drop off, or is there going to be a rush to continue to pick up on these bargains that are out there. That's tremendous. What do we have on the calendar this week, Joe, as far as the unemployment is probably one of the more significant run?
Well, the jobs report, the non-farm payrolls that comes out on Friday is always one of the biggest announcements of the month. And so November's jobs activity will be reported this Friday. There's the consensus is for a loss of 115,000 jobs. And I think, as we said last week, the consensus was for a loss of 175,000 jobs. That's a lot of jobs, but at the same time, it's a whole lot better than it has been in the past. So, and last month, the consensus was a little bit wrong. We actually lost 190,000 jobs. So we'll be watching that, and that is usually a market-moving event one way or the other, unless things come in pretty much dead on. besides the jobs report, there are a lot of sort of secondary announcements coming out. The ISM index comes out tomorrow, which is a pretty important announcement. And then Thursday.
For those of that do not understand what the ISM index is, could you cover that real briefly?
Sure. It's the Institute of Supply Management. It's a measure of manufacturing activity. And
yes. Very significant.
Yeah, and as the manufacturing activity is beginning to grow, it measures that a measure of 50 means it's kind of a break even. Less than 50, it's a contracting, and more than 50 is expanding. And we're seeing this. The consensus for this month is at 55, and so it's showing that economists are still thinking that we're seeing expanding manufacturing activity, better than going the other way.
Yeah, it's better. Yep, exactly. It's encouraging to see that hopefully this is an indication that things are beginning to, we're at a near a bottom, and we're going to actually see some things improve here a bit. Anything else?
Yeah, the last thing is on Thursday, we're going to see another announcement from the Treasury identifying how much is going to be released or auctioned off. I'm sorry, it's how much is going to be auctioned off next week, or the week, next week. And we keep wondering how long the markets are going to absorb this stuff, and so far, so good. Let's keep
it is encouraging to see, and it's really encouraging, Joe, to see that we see the foreign investors in your buying on Australia with no, any indication that they're backing off. That's very encouraging for this market that needs to have liquidity continually pumped into it.
Well,
that's great
of that,
news.
Dave, is kind of a we saw an example of how fragile things are, especially, we know about them here close by, but across the world with Dubai announcing that they were going to have trouble and maybe default on their debt.
What's your take on that, Joe? How do you think that's going to impact us in the land of mortgages?
Well, fortunately, direct impact was pretty minimal. The stock market sold off a little bit on the announcement on Friday, and the mortgage market didn't do a whole lot. Fortunately, the U.S. is not near as exposed to the consequences of a default like that as other world banks are, but really what it did was it kind of snapped the world financial markets back to the reality that you don't know where the next problem's going to come from, and is this the start of other potential government small country kind of defaults to cause concern? And so just a little bit dose of reality.
Yeah, dose of reality enough just to keep the markets just really nervous. And which drives to the point of, you got to have a service like MBS Coatline to stay in touch with all that's going on out there.
You, yeah.
So we appreciate so much you being a part of it, giving these updates. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
I want to say a special thanks to Andy Alvey, who creates these spots for us. He does such a good job. We appreciate you, Andy. Thank you so much for producing this program with us. And let's get off to Alice Alvey right now up there in wonderful Detroit. By the way, Alice, Joe, I forgot to get in. We didn't talk much about Thanksgiving, but we had a pre-program show that we talked about, so we had a good update on what's going on. But it's good to hear that everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you, the listeners, did. We have a number of you that have tuned in while Joe was giving his report. And as we do each week, we're to go now into the legislative update. But Alice actually has come up with a new name for this segment. It's called the Traffic Report. And Alice was saying it's just because there's so much activity going down the freeway of the regulatory field. And I said, you know, maybe also just, you know, we're finally feeling a little run over by everything that's out
right,
there, Alice.
Right.
Take it away. Give us an update.
I think you're right. Well, that was the traffic report. I think, I don't know, I just think that sounds so appropriate. Like you said, are we getting run over here? How do you keep ahead of it? Do I want to be in the fast lane? Do I want to be in the slow lane? And where are the traffic jams? So our traffic report today on the legislative front is, thank goodness, traffic was light over the holiday. I think the main heads up that's happening this week is that there is a proposed rule that's due to end for comment this week. It was an FTC, so the Federal Trade Commission, proposed rule regarding the free credit report. You know, you've all seen the ads that, you know, kind of make the consumer believe that they're going to get a free credit report, and it's really some other entity that's selling credit reports. You go to the site and you got to pay, you know, or they're trying to sell you this, that, and the other service. Well, this proposed rule is trying to lock that down a little bit. It's going to try and prohibit anybody from charging a service to the consumer before they actually get their free credit report. It would also require some more prominent advertising if it's not the actual government link for the free credit report. That comment period was extended, and it is expiring this week, so December 7th it expires. So if you have an opinion, feel strongly about that one, make sure you go to ftc.gov to be able to respond to that one. Also, yes, just a heads up, we're now into December, one day away from that, the Regulation Z proposed rule on the Home Secure Credit comment period is 24 days away. You've got to get to the website, to the Federal Reserve website, to be able to post your comments about this very large piece of legislation that's going to impact every loan officer. If you don't get in there and let your voice be heard about restrictions on loan officer compensation. As far as the rest of the bills, we actually have about 14 of them that we're watching for all of you. Yeah, I know. And the Consumer Financial Protection Agency is, you know, probably one of the big ones that we're keeping an eye on. Nothing's moved yet, but just as a quick rundown, there's that. And the other one we think is real important is House Bill 3146 for FHA, yes, to be able to get some more resources. So in any case, we'll also watch the too big to fail, Senate Bill 2746. We'll maybe see some movement on those this month.
Well, we can call it the traffic report, the legislative update, the traffic report, and also is going to be your nav system. So we just drove back from Minnesota, and we used our nav system the whole way back over Thanksgiving. And I tell you, we're becoming more and more reliant on this technology, and this program is a great navigational tool for you, the listener, as you consider what's coming down the line. Alice, thank you so much for bringing that up. We're actually going to talk about the Home Secure as it relates to NetBrand's compensation in one of our future segments. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this word.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin'.
Good to have you back. RESPA, the FAQs last week, we reported how upset Alice was, and she was just stomping mad. And you know what? Just before Thanksgiving, Alice, it was tough to see you like that. But it's good news. We hear there's reason that for you to not be mad anymore. Fill us in.
Well, yeah, you know, when HUD published their last FAQ, there was the one response to a comment in there that basically prohibits a company from making an addendum to the good faith estimate, which we're all struggling with right now, to be able to learn how to do it, be prepared for the January 1st deadline. And by the way, I forgot to mention, I am going to be a panelist on the Mortgage Brokers Association webinar tomorrow for those of you who are still looking to try and catch up on these things. But this FAQ, we have found out since then, we've talked with people at HUD and others, and it really is meant to be that it is meant not to alter the good faith estimate. You can't make an addendum or anything that's attempting to change the information in the blocks. But they're not trying to say, if you want to make a sales tool that more clearly helps the customer understand what are the total funds that they're going to need to bring to closing, you know, for example, to be able to illustrate seller credits, which the new good faith estimate does not. That's a good example of how an extra form or, you know, sales tool or communication tool for the customer is allowed. They're not trying to restrict that type of thing. So I'm not mad now.
That's good. We're so happy. We don't want to lose that giggle. It's one of the things that just is so infectious about your report here. Let's go into the number two thing. There's some bad actors out there that HUD and some states need to budget money for more auditors. Gosh, more money, Alice.
Well, I know, and I know Joe, you and I have talked about this as well, just the idea that, you know, now is not the time to be cutting budgets. A lot of people have said, well, with all the cutbacks in the industry, does that mean all the bad people are gone? And no, there's some good companies that went out of business, but there's still some bad players that are trying to make more money and still not doing things right, and we are still seeing it.
Yeah, we certainly are, Joe. And I mean, you and I were talking about this. We were all talking about this before the program, and it's those few bad actors that have really messed up this industry and created a lot of that, you know, 14 pieces of legislation. That's what's behind it, to regulate these bad actors.
Well, and we're going to talk about it more. The result of most of that is a repurchase to somebody. And it doesn't take too many repurchases to put a small mortgage banker out of business.
And I think it's just enforcement. We need, you know, instead of trying to bog us down with more regulations, how many of us would just be playing for more enforcement of the rules we already have?
Well, and if we get the additional funding for HUD, Alice, this is going to help bring some more auditors on. Again, assuming that they spend the money that way. So I would agree with your comment, Joe. Less regulation, to the extent that we need to police it a little bit better, whether current regulations are there. Welcomed, I'm not sure is the right expression, but at least it's going to be better than just burdening us with more regulations and burdening the few auditors out there trying to track and chase down and audit the regulations that are already in existence.
Well, it seems like HUD and maybe to a large extent Fannie and Freddie are handing over to the big banks, correspondent banks, the QC programs, you know, in a way, and that they're buying so many of the loans that get made now, and they have repurchased reps and warranties to the ultimate investors or the mortgage the insurers, and so it may be that the big banks are just are your new auditor.
And that may, in fact, Alice, you've been getting a lot of calls from companies who now want your help for multiple state audits.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a point at which it's very late to try and give somebody a call to get some help, you know, but you've got, you know, one thing that you've got to do is if you get a call and you're getting audited, if it's a good company, we absolutely want to get in there, help you know how to respond to the audits. We're very, you know, there is a point at which you might need a lawyer, that's the best way to go, to hire a good lawyer. But there are other companies that just, you know, are finally getting caught at what the lack of proper disclosure, lack of proper consumer care is what I would call it. And so, you know, at some point, you know, when you have multiple state audits that you're subject to, you know, at what point do you have to look at a company and go, you know what, you guys really do need to go out of business because you're not serving consumers with what we're seeing in these audit reports sometimes.
And that is, that's the sad reality. Some are going out of business, some need to go out of business, but, I mean, the vast majority of the industry is just doing their best to stay on top of everything and disclose properly, and it's in some cases it doesn't seem to have been as clear, and that's where the value of having someone like you come in. You're doing a lot to help them, Alice. I know your firm does, to the extent that they can afford to reach out. I mean, to your point, and we're going to talk about this when we come back and talk about the repurchase here in a few moments, there is so much a good attorney can do for a company in this. But you need, there's two aspects. There's the business risk and the legal risk. And you got to have both a good business advisor and a good attorney, and they work hand in hand and can save you lots and lots of money. Let's talk about another thing. One of the things that Joe was talking about last week was something concerning about Congress having their hand in the central bank oversight. There was a Washington Post article by Bernanke on November 29th. Joe, you want to get into that, or Alice, you want to get into that?
Go ahead, Alice. And
I was just going to say that Joe brought up last week about the fact that, if you get Congress's hand at all involved with central bank oversight, that now you have, can Congress, based on what their position is with, is an election year, have influence over the central bank's decisions as they make decisions on interest rates. And I just thought, it was interesting that Joe came out with this before Bernanke even published his opinion. Now that Bernanke's come out with this, I thought, Joe, you can explain to people a little bit more how those two things can be a problem and understand, explain that what the impact could actually be.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to look at it is jobs. The more jobs, Congress obviously is going to appeal to their constituencies more if they're able to create jobs. Well, creating jobs is best done in a low interest rate environment, but inflation also begins to creep in a low interest rate environment, and it's going to turn the interest rates much, much higher, and to a certain extent, if the Fed's not controlling interest rates in the long term, it's not good. But Congress and our representatives there are they're looking at what can they get for their constituents now. And so politically, the environment may be such that it's more appealing to ensure continued job creation, while in the long run inflation is beginning to heat up, and once it gets going too fast, it can be very difficult to slow down. And more importantly, I think those who have invested in instruments of the United States, the treasuries and in mortgages, mortgage-backed securities, have a confidence that the Fed is going to protect them from out of control inflation. Out of control inflation exceeding expectation by much eliminates the benefit of owning long-term fixed rate assets. And if they see politics beginning to creep into the equation, they're more likely than not going to require higher rates to pay for the risk that politics allows that kind of inflation.
Someone just wrote us a quick text, and they go, I love it. I need to understand what the central bank's role is. I mean, is it just to regulate the rates? I mean, if you could
they have a dual mission, and the dual mission is to try to maintain full employment while controlling inflation. Yeah. And sometimes one means the other's going to suffer. So far, we've been in an environment where we've had, the jobs environment's been the way it is, and fortunately, the inflationary pressures have not risen with the activity that was designed to improve the jobs market. But everyone out there believes that at some time in the future, if we don't, tighten monetary policy, we're going to see inflation begin to grow the investors have to have confidence that the Fed will take the necessary actions to not allow that to grow excessively.
Well, and here we go again, our generation who's kind of lived through that when there were high inflationary times, that's tough to make it from one year to the next. It's stress on employers. You know, if you're not getting cost of living allowances each year, you're feeling like you're getting a payroll cut. If that inflation gets out of control, we all joke around about remember when interest rates were 21%, So I think it's a delicate balance if you try and say, all right, well, if you've got a lot of congressmen who have states who are struggling for employment, I can see exactly what you mean, where they would maybe have influence over that process.
And those people who have purchased something with a 30-year fixed rate term to it don't get the right to say, I need some more to offset this high inflation.
Right. It's a fixed investment.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Well, good to have you back. Thank you so much. You know, after I listen to that Wetzel Schrott ad, that nice, peaceful music, and we get back into the rocking guitars and everything, it's good. A little contrast there. Good job, Andy. Let's talk about net branch compensation, Alice and Joe. There's been a lot of discussion on this, and I know this is kind of tied into the Home Secure Act. Alice, take away the discussion on this.
Well, it was just interesting. You know, we have a customer that we're trying to help right now who's being written up by the state. And in this case, I'll just leave it at that. Who's being written up by actually a couple of states on the concept that they paid their loan officers in their net branch operation with a net revenue model. So they have gross income to the loan officer minus expenses, and then that's the net W-2 that the loan officer received. Well, in this particular case, the state, and then subsequently they're obviously going to report this to the IRS, is saying that those are not allowable pre-tax deductions.
Oh.
So the heads up I wanted to make sure we gave everybody on this call was be sure you talk to your CPA on how you keep your books and how you're structuring your net branch operation. So just to give you kind of a quick rundown, there'd be the gross revenue due to the loan officer, but then they'd back out things like lease payments, office expense. In some cases, it was unallowable. You know, you can tell that they deducted clothing. In other cases, it was insurance. Sometimes you can tell it's the appraisal fee, you know, that maybe they just paid out of their pocket. Well, you have to be careful that the things that you're deducting aren't perceived as, you know, for a W-2 employee, what really should be a reimbursable expense. Or you've got your P&L, you know, do you have your bookkeeping set up properly so this does not come across as being a pre-tax deduction of sorts? This company now is going to be on the hook for a large sum, hundreds of thousands of dollars of income that they're claiming should have been paid directly. So that's a lot of tax implications for both the company and the individual.
Hey, I wanted to ask a question and clarify. Is this pertaining to loan officers in a net branch or to the person at the net branch who basically gets paid the bottom line?
Well, they're just using the reference employee. Yeah, they're just using the reference employee. So that would be a distinction. Again, you'd want to make sure it's clear at your company. You know, am I allowed to have that there's a P&L structure for a branch and how compensation works? You know, the answer to that is certainly yes, but again, it has to be structured correctly. And in this particular case, they looked at it as employees. So the way the record keeping was done, even though that person was a branch manager of a branch, the record keeping wasn't kept properly in this case, and so it's not coming across as kind of a P&L, you know, pay on the profit format. It's looking like it's pre-tax deductions.
That is significant, especially if the state is in turn then reporting it back to the IRS. And to your point, they could be finding themselves with a tax liability. It's significant. Alice, how does this relate to the Home Secure? This kind of fits neatly into the Home Secure Act, which, you know, talks about loan officer compensation.
Well, we were talking, you know, we've talked about, okay, how do you compensate loan officers then? You know, in today's world, it's tough enough. If you say we've got this Reg Z proposed rule, the Home Secure Credit, that's due to have the comment periods must be in by the end of this month, December 24th, you know, in the new world, then how do you compensate a loan officer if you can't compensate them based on the interest rate or the terms of the loan, which is essentially, you know, your overage and yield spread. So, you know, you're trying to say, well, can I have a gross revenue model still? All income goes into a branch level and I back out, you know, certain deductions, and then subsequently there's bonus structure underneath that gets paid out to people. You know, I don't have the answers to all of that. That's what we're trying to define. If the new rule passes, how do you compensate somebody, you know, in these real tight restrictions without basing it on the interest rate and term?
Yeah, and some of the money is, we've been getting a lot of phone calls from, as an advisor on compensation. We do a lot of advising on compensation, and we're getting a lot of questions that are circulating around this. Until we have a rule that's actually been passed, we're playing the anticipation game rather than dealing with something that's substantive in facts and past. When is this anticipated at this point of working its way through the system and actually going into law? When can we have something a little more firm to begin to base our decisions on, Alice?
Well, you know, the proposed rule process, one, you could always have an extension of the comment period if they're getting a lot of comments. So that's
right.
One thing that could push it back. But if you say, okay, the comment period truly is ending at the end of December 24th, it'll take them some time to go through the comments and to be able to then respond back with, you know, in the quickest event, here's the final rule and an implementation date that they would see fit. So, you know, certainly not something that's in within 90 days, but, you know, we just have to watch it carefully to make sure that the implementation
right.
isn't imminent.
You know, this is all part of the Reg Z proposed rule, so it does, it ties back to, I tell you, trying to keep these things all straightened out, and then where they started and where they're ending up. I mean, some of these rules or some of the policies that they're trying to implement have shown up in several places, so to keep track of it is no small matter.
I was just going to ask Joe. Right. Joe, you have several customers that, you know, have these net branch structures. How, in their world today, how do they structure their compensation?
Well, it, you know, there's usually a manager that just gets the bottom line, and the bottom line is very much like a retail branch would measure a bottom line, where you have all the, you know, the gross revenue coming in off the loans minus the direct and certain allocated costs, and so he gets paid the bottom line. So basically, the branch breaks even, and whatever profit would have been in the branch before his compensation, that's his compensation. But you know, a lot of times those branch managers are also producing managers, and so that starts to kind of define them very much more like a loan originator. And does then the new proposed Reg Z rules mean that they could not get paid based on the profit of the branch? Because clearly if the revenue going into the branch is more because of loan terms than it would have been if it were just based on a flat fee or a percentage fee, then he's benefiting from loan terms. So that's one question I've not heard the answer to, and you know, I can sure see it becoming a topic of discussion.
Well, I think what we're trying to find is, what's the intent in that? Is the intent that a loan officer sitting face-to-face with a borrower is not going to be motivated to charge that customer an extra quarter point in rate to have immediate compensation at the time the loan closes. And so, you know, is the intent to just stop that practice? And so if you put it in another layer within the compensation structure, like you've just described, it's at gross revenue, it's not immediate upon closing, it's maybe a bonus structure, is that okay? And those are all the unanswered questions right now.
Yeah, well, you've raised, the two questions. One sounds like branch managers in a net branch environment may be getting too much compensation, and then the states turn around saying, well, they're not getting enough because you're netting the expenses. I'm still a little confused on how in that state ruling where they weren't being charged, local, state, and federal FICA and things like that on a high enough level. What do you do with all those expenses? Would somebody have to carry those to their tax return as business expenses, unreimbursed business expenses?
Well, I can see clearly in some cases, you know, if it's office supplies, rent, the company, for starters, if you're FHA approved, should be paying those directly. And it's not a deduction to someone's W-2 check. So maybe you have to split things up and say, well, here are your W-2 wages, but then here's a bonus calculation. And that some of these costs, in terms of the IRS, have to be directly reimbursed to the customer.
Yeah,
the
odd part is that, you know, if you W-2 at the gross revenue, but you pay at the lesser revenue, that's not an expense to the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't pay.
You know what? I think your point in your notes and our discussions before the program were so apropos. When the IRS gets involved, and even some of these rules, when it comes to accounting issues, you really need to get the opinion of a CPA firm. I mean, this is really going to – they're not going to come out with something definitive. Have you ever – either of you ever seen a rule passed where it's going, oh, this is real clear? I've never seen one in the mortgage industry quite like that. I mean, that's why we have the FAQs. That's why we have all these – you know, ongoing discussion on that. What are they really want? Your point is, Alice, is what is the intent? And I think you're right on the money there. What we're hearing, the feedback we're getting from our many calls is, many conversations, talking to people in that are trying to sort this out, even within the Beltway, they're coming back saying, we're trying, our goal is to stop the loan officer for giving a consumer a higher rate and making more money on the deal. And so they're trying to, number one, they're approaching it for two ways. Number one, let's flatten out this rate sheet. Let's no longer have, multiple stacks of premium pricing up above that motivates the loan officer to provide a greater rate. And then also, let's limit the amount of compensation a loan officer makes. Even if they do have the rate sheet, let's just limit, it's saying it kind of feels like you're eliminating loan officer compensation, but just limit it down to a specific amount. Now, what some lenders are talking about, and this goes back to the Home Secure credit piece of this as relates to the compensation, some are saying, well, what we're going to do is we're going to set money, gain on sale. This works for a mortgage banker, not for a mortgage broker. We're going to set some income that we get from when we go to sell that loan. We're going to set it aside in a pool, and based on factors other than direct loan-to-loan relationship, we're going to pay out bonuses based on performance, a lot of different metrics that do not come back and point directly to a loan. And so a lot of people are scrambling to get creative in this process to begin to find a way to keep their better loan officers. The last thing we want to see is the good loan officers that have been well compensated exit the industry.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of structures like that. Whether you call it a revenue per loan that is by each individual loan officer or by a branch? Is there a pool that everybody is contributing into that, then is divided up based on certain criteria? So, as you said, every company, and they're not all going to be the same because you have different types of loan officers, different markets, and different needs.
Well, it is certainly going to be a discussion that we're going to have. I'm going to try to entice my partner, Andy Schell, who is a CPA and a CMB, one of only 30 of them in the nation to come on and begin to, as we start getting more clarity on this ruling as we get moved forward, to kind of have him come on and make some general rules or put out some suggestions from a CPA's perspective of how to interpret this and how to move forward. But even after this rule gets published, I guarantee you, if the IRS is involved, states are involved, it's going to be one of those things you're going to have to get outside counsel and advice. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Or you're going to be faced with a, like the Alice, you're one customer and client where they're going to have to be paying some enormous fees back to the IRS on unearned or unreported income, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, unless they can go back and defend it, and a lot of that has to do with record keeping. You know, we've survived an IRS audit in the past, and it can be done, but, boy, it teaches you an awful lot about detail. And I think when it comes to net branch arrangements and compensation, you know, the first thing is make sure your books are in order right now with the way you're compensating them, and then take a look at how would that potentially change in the future, as we've been talking about.
Well, and if you're one of those people who receives net branch compensation the way we're describing, most net branch companies are going to pass through those costs as something. So it may be coming straight out of your pocket. So it behooves you to not wait and to try to make sure things are right to begin with.
Well, and you've got to be careful because, you know, certainly there's liability as an individual as far as the IRS is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, well, that's just my company's problem, you know, I would say don't rest on that.
You know, especially if we go into the next topic, which is repurchases, a new surge of repurchases. And before we go there, I just want to, for our listeners, I want to put out this. There are a lot of people that are just exiting the business, throwing up their hands and saying, I just can't deal with this. I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm going to go find do something else.
Going to work at McDonald's or Walmart or something.
Oh, yeah. That's going to bring you a lot of income. But the reality is that, you know, there is never been a better time to really persevere through this stuff. So many are exiting the industry that it is critical that you stay involved and make the money. The industry is not going away. We're going to need residential financing, mortgage financing specifically, more than ever in this new economy to pull us in this new world and to pull our economy back out of the ditch that it's stuck in right now. And so those that survive and persevere through this are going to be making an inordinate amount of money. We're doing, we're a consulting firm. We have clients literally from coast to coast. Those that are persevering and fighting the good battle and staying in the game are reporting record earnings. And I've been saying now for months and months and months, what this is setting up is record earnings, historical high record earnings for anybody that can survive and go through this. So I just want to encourage those that are listening to this broadcast, stay in the game. Don't exit. But with that said, we got to put out another report. There's some bad news coming, and more reports of repurchases in the last couple of weeks. And some of you were aware that I was in Washington D.C. and on the East Coast talking to investment bankers about the industry and raising capital for some of our clients. And we heard reports that there was going to be another wave of repurchases coming. And something about those Wall Street guys, they seem to kind of get the news before the news, so to speak. And certainly, we've been hearing about the potential for it, but what's happening is the agencies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as they begin to stem the tide of losses and the red ink that's running through their shops, running out their doors, they're going back and saying, we got to recover losses. So they're putting the loans back to the big conduits, the big bank conduits. And the big banks are now coming back with a vengeance on a number of companies that we have as clients saying, what is going on? I got calls throughout the Thanksgiving break. What is going on? We've never had this kind of many repurchases being put back at us, and it's called clawbacks. The world of the investment banking world says there is a risk of increased risk of clawbacks. We're trying to claw back some of the revenue, some of the red ink that's pouring out, stop the bleeding, and they're going after the independent mortgage banker that originated the loan. This is one of those things where it's very difficult to take this. Repeated attacks of barrages as they're struggling with many other issues. COMP 14 new legislative pieces moving through the House and Senate right now. All of this sets up for what could seem like a very gloomy, very dark future for the independent mortgage banker. But I tell you, like Glenn Corso was on last week talking about the future of the independent mortgage banker, and we tend to have Glenn back, There has never been a better time to just keep pressing through. Yes, there's a lot to digest. If you get a repurchase, if you're getting those repurchase requests, absolutely fight them, resist them all the way. You don't know how, you give us a call. We'll step in there with you. We'll advise you how to go at that. For those that are putting them back, I encourage you to use a common sense approach. Just throwing things back at the industry is not healthy for our industry. And we've got to look at a shared risk. We're all in this game together. It's not right that Fannie and Freddie and that the taxpayer take the full hit. But to just put it absurdly, put everything back is just not right. I feel like I'm on my soapbox here, Allison. And Joe, jump in here with me.
I'd add that, you know, people that insure mortgages or people that invest in mortgages take the risk that property values will go down and there could be losses. And certainly we've seen that, and that should not be let me find any and all ways to get out of the loss that the decline in property values or lost jobs is causing on me. But I've heard similar circumstances to what you said, Dave, and they're 4 or 5 year old loans that performed until a guy lost his job.
We've heard the same thing.
Yeah, so I mean that is just somebody trying to avoid the risks that they knew they were taking when they insured or purchased that loan.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Joe, and I've always been a believer in, you know, kind of the sanctity of the mortgage document. You signed that you're going to pay the lender this under these terms and conditions, and it doesn't say anything about as long as my house doesn't decline in value. But we've reached a point in the market today that I think it has to be, like you've said, at this point we've reached a point of it has to be shared risk, or this isn't going to, you can't put all this burden, which is now going to fall on the taxpayer.
Yep. It, the taxpayers, it's not right that they end up with the whole thing, but there's got to be a common sense. You know, the thing I asked some of them is, how has the servicer serviced this loan? And it really comes into looking at how servicers are handling it, and we're seeing too many reports where mortgage servicers have not done the job of aggressively servicing these loans, trying to get working with these borrowers in a constructive way. There's a new report out that the Obama administration today is putting increased heat on mortgage servicers. Joe, you alerted us to this, and I found the article. It was the Dow Jones Newswire that reported this.
Well, and initially the report was that they were going to fine the servicers for not doing a good enough job at modifying and saving borrowers in default. I've later heard that it's more a matter of saying, you know, we were supposed to pay you X amount of dollars on modification success, and maybe we're just not going to pay you that unless you're doing a better job, which seems a little odd to me, but I guess they can say that.
Well, I think it varies, too, on servicer. You know, I'm always one to say, let's be a little careful on, you know, who are they talking to when you read these kind of articles? Are they talking to the big players? You know, sometimes you think these memos and things are really just targeted to those big players. You look at what some of the credit unions and the community banks are trying to do, and they really do their best to try and get a handle and work with the modifications. I wish we could separate out those numbers.
Yeah, I know. I wish there was a better way. I mean, and there's reports like Wells Fargo is hiring as many people as they can find to help and build up their loan servicing ranks to begin to deal with this. I don't think this is necessarily anyone just thumbing their nose at the problem, ignoring it. It's just the sheer volume of defaults are at a record all-time highs, as is well reported.
Well, and how do you give somebody a modification who doesn't have a job?
Yeah.
That's just the reality.
My wife, we were traveling over Thanksgiving, and we just got a report from within some of our friend circles that another family's losing their home to foreclosure. I mean, he's unemployed and cannot find work. I mean, Alice, you're in the land of up there, so much unemployment. What do you do with these guys? We know people that haven't made their mortgage payment in 12 months, haven't gotten a single collection call.
Really?
So it's just amazing the disparity of the effort being done by some servicers. So it's a shared risk. We're all in this thing together. And you know what? We're afraid the mortgage servicer can't call the mortgage originator because, again, we don't want to have anyone getting confused of who we're talking to. But doggone, that should be one of the best places to go back to is the guy that made the loan. Get him talking to the consumer. I wish there were some ways to doing that. Again, I feel like I'm getting my soapbox again. You guys help me out here. But I'm really concerned for the independent mortgage banker. The thing we do not want to see happen in the industry is what seems like some of the big banks would like to see, is all the independent mortgage bankers going away. I tell you, nothing could be worse for our economy, for our industry, for our housing, than for that to happen.
Well, and I think, Dave, to your point that you brought up earlier, I want to make sure people heard it, was the idea of setting aside a reserve. You know, that, you know, a solution to this is make sure you've got some money with each loan that you close that's set up to prepare for this type of thing, to prepare for the costs of repurchases or defending your repurchases, you know, if it requires now additional staff and QC to have proper responses or attorneys when they get, you know, very complex. You know, you've got to make sure you're budgeting for those tools.
Well, I tell you, there's no... We just, for any of us, I mean, no matter if you're running a personal budget, a company, or whatever, I mean, just the fact that having loan loss reserves, having some type of reserves for when the climate changes, I mean, we're talking about that. I'm writing another article I write for a lot of the various industry rags. I wrote one over the weekend and about ready to send it off to the editor for publishing, and this one's going into the National Mortgage Professional. And we're talking about the amount of, you know, of... in mortgage industry managers, C-level executives that are not paying attention, looking in their own shop, digging deep into how they run their operation. And one of them is Alice's and Joe is, do they have adequate reserves? Have they actually set aside monies to handle some of this? Granted, like one guy said, I set aside a bunch of money. I've gone through all of that and then some. It's, you know, that the problem is fairly significant, and it's not one of those things. We're certainly in unprecedented times, and so we're at a place where it is so critical that people know that they have, they've got to get counsel. Do not try to solve these problems on your own. Alice, you're out there working with clients every day. Joe, you're talking to people every single day, mostly on interest rates and on guiding them through what to do. But there is a vast industry out here that is ready to sit down and work with you and help with you. And you know what? It doesn't. Just pick up the phone and call us. We're willing to sit down and try to at least give you some guidance, and that doesn't cost you any money to pick up the phone and call us.
And it really does help to have another set of eyes on your loans, you know, to maybe think of a way that you hadn't thought of that may be able to defend that loan.
I remember one year they had someone speak at the California Mortgage Bankers Association, the CMBA, and out the famous Western Secondary, and they had a group of fighter jet pilots in talking to us. I go, what in the heck are these guys on the program for? They brought up one of the best analogies. It's called task saturation. The Eastern Airlines jet that went in the drink a number of years ago, it was well reported, but it really brings to the point home. The reason they parked a perfectly good airplane and stuck it in the ocean was a light bulb went out on the dash. They were tapping this light bulb, as this report has. And again, you know how they have the recording where it's recording all the internal conversations from the cockpit, and it recorded and said, hey, look at this, guys, the landing gear light. Is the landing gear up? And it looked like it was up, and they said, yeah, I flipped it up. Well, why is the light saying that the landing gear is still down? Well, they leaned forward to tap the light, and they took off the autopilot. They bumped the yoke on the airplane. Again, this is a metaphor to exume, but they all got totally focused on this one 69-cent bulb on the dashboard. By bumping the yoke, it disengaged the autopilot, and they slowly declined right in the ocean and killed everyone on board. The point of it is we can get so myopically focused on the thing that's flashing in front of us. There are other solutions, and if you're just sitting there trying to solve this all on your own, you might have that same problem that those Eastern Airline pilots had, myopically focused on something, and it's called task saturation, and myopically focused on something that you perceive to be the problem, and there's a great solution just outside of it. We're almost up with our time. Joe and Alice, let's kind of wrap up the program. Is there anything that we haven't covered that is important? I'm looking through the news as the news items as we on the National Mortgage News and see what's going on flashing around out there. Certainly a lot going on all across the country.
Well, I'd say just the real-time nature of keeping up with mortgage rates. MBS prices have improved another couple 30 seconds while we've been on this call, and so nice stair-stepping higher in price means rates are going lower, and it's very likely that some investors will issue favorable price changes today.
That's good news. That's good news. Alice, what do you see out there for the week ahead?
Oh, I think just a week ahead, we'll be watching the legislative and give you the latest traffic report next week. But just a reminder, get into your books. It's year end. It's a good time to dissect your books. Make sure you're paying people the right way to keep the IRS happy and off your back.
We appreciate so many of you listening to the program and being here faithfully each week to dial in and listen to us. What we'd like to encourage you to do is send around the link to others in the industry that you know. Say, hey, there is a great resource. You know what? You don't have to take the time to read. You're sitting at your desk. Click on this link, Blog Talk Radio. And I want to say a special thank you to all our friends at Blog Talk for making this possible. Appreciate you so much. But you can click on that link, and you can sit there and work away at and listen and get the greatest updated information. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we look forward to talking to you again next week. Have a great week, everybody. Happy going back to work after Thanksgiving week.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.